Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
Turn the beat around. Look to keep percussion. Turn it inside out.
Got to feel percussion.
Yeah, all right.
Where you been, Homer? All the steel mills are gay.
Everybody tough, dance
coming
now.
Through. He thinks you're gay. He thinks I'm gay. Everybody dance now.
I know it's incredibly dated at this point, and you know, it's probably not as culturally sensitive, but people have to admit that at least to millennials of that age, watching that episode probably did more to help the gay rights movement than anything else.
I didn't think up until
that point, I would say, for millennials.
Yeah, probably. I mean, it was definitely like, it was probably a lot of millennials' first exposure to like a gay character that wasn't like, I was gonna say like that wasn't a complete caricature because it was just John Waters,
who is himself a complete caricature, but we love it.
Right. That's exactly what I was thinking. I was like, well, it's not a gay. He's not a gay stereotype. I was like, wait, no, it's John Waters. John Waters is a gay stereotype,
but a wonderful one who everyone like. Pretty like you can't hate John Waters. Like it's physically impossible.
I would be like, other than someone who's legit, just like a mega bigot. Yeah, like if you're a mega bigot and you hate him because he's gay, like okay, like I understand that. But like, yeah, like hating John Waters on like principle, that's weird. That's super weird. Like, dude is super nice, really funny. Seems to be like one of the like kindest people in the industry. So
I mean, I'll be the first to admit I don't like the majority of his movies, let's put it that way. There are movies that he's done that I do like, but the vast majority are not really to my taste. So
you like Pecker? I really like Pecker.
I'm not I could probably name the movies that I like of his on one hand, so it's, but it has nothing to do with him as a person. It's just he purposely makes films that are uncomfortable and weird, and
yep,
you know,
that's the thing.
Yeah, exactly. But it's nothing against the movie itself. Those are my own tastes. So.
It's like David Lynch. David Lynch makes movies that are weird. John Waters makes movies that are uncomfortable. Weird.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. A really obese woman sitting in a baby crib. Eating raw eggs going, Babs, but what if there are no more eggs? It's pretty wild.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's like, I'm like sitting here watching it going, I get it. I don't like it, but I get it.
I watched Pink Flamingos when I was probably far too young to see a man's dancing asshole, but I definitely watched the movie. I like that movie. It's definitely, I can absolutely say it is not for everyone. It is a bad taste film, which
Well, bad taste also with the poo-poos. So,
yes. I mean,
that's what really got me when watching that movie. I was like, hey, I found out that was real. I was like,
it was pretty good. It's guerrilla, like, there's one thing to say guerrilla filmmaking, and there's another thing to live guerrilla filmmaking.
Yeah. And as I say, I absolutely adore John Waters. So,
yeah, he's a really funny dude. He's really funny. I like John Waters a lot.
Yeah. Speaking of bigotry, that actually takes us into our first topic today.
Why is that always such a useful segue?
Because when it comes to tabletop gaming, we have to deal with a lot of bigots. a lot of bigots. Because you know what? This hobby attracts young men, single young men who don't have anything better to spend their money on.
Maybe you might be right.
Yeah. And those men, those single young men, are often the ones who are attracted to the the Ben Shapiro lifestyle.
being a human fly. That's fucking Ben Shapiro, dude. Dude sounds like a fly.
I don't appreciate that. See, look at this. You can't agree with me, so as a leftist, all you can do is attack me for being a fly. I mean, wait, no.
that's a slander to flies, because flies actually fill a useful niche in our environment.
I was going to say that's slander to flies, because flies eat shit. Ben Shapiro just spews it.
Yeah, well, flies are a useful food source. They consume dead material.
It's true. I do not want to disrespect the fly. The fly is a humble and lovely little creature.
Yes, I mean, granted, they both flies and Ben Shapiro can be annoying, but yeah, as I've said before, flies are useful.
You're correct. Yeah, no, you are absolutely
right. Ben Shapiro is more like a mosquito, really.
Mosquitoes are also probably useful, because they're an extremely important food staple for many other creatures.
Yeah, the thing that I've been told is that they are not a absolute food source. So if they were removed from the food chain, hypothetically,
adaptation.
The animals that eat mosquitoes. There's no animal that specifically just eats mosquitoes.
I figure the bat and the dragonfly populations would take a hit.
Probably. I mean, you know, but you know, we're doing that on our own. I'm sure Ben Shapiro's lead the way for us to do that on our own. So for those who have been living in a cave under a rock on Mars with a finger in their ears going la 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 la.
That's me, because I actually don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, you don't know what I'm talking about. In Spain, there was a tournament recently. I could get into specifics of where and you know, that sort of thing, but it was a tournament for Warhammer 40,000, of course, right, Steve?
What else would it be?
I mean, it could be Yu-Gi-Oh, but this is Spain, so I don't know if they have Yu-Gi-Oh in Spain. You know what? Yu-Gi-Oh is not really that racist. It's no, Yu-Gi-Oh is more of a violent tournament. Yeah,
Yu-Gi-Oh is definitely not Yu-Gi-Oh. The age brackets skew super younger, and actually, the Yu-Gi-Oh crowd's really diverse.
Yes, and but I'm saying that usually is a more violent story. Like, that's more violence. Like,
yes, almost as far as I know, every gun violation related to tabletop gaming is all Yu-Gi-Oh tournaments.
I'm gonna go into that in a second too. But anyway, at this tournament in Spain, a player decides to come dressed up. Well, first of all, his player name is Austrian Painter. And he comes dressed in a bunch of fascist symbols on his shirt in Spain. Some of them were Spanish symbols, from what I was told, Spanish fascist symbols. So he enters this tournament. The organizers don't do anything. He goes up against his first player. The first player goes up to the organizers and say, "I'm not going to play this asshole." But they say it in Spanish. "I am not going to play this asshole. I'm going to give him a cool Antonio Banderas."
I like it.
Because he's a good guy in this story. And the tournament organizers are just like, "Oh, okay, you don't have to play him." So he takes they counted as a forfeit, giving the fascist player all the tournament points. So then it happens again, and the guy gets all the tournament points. He ends up placing in the top bracket because of so many forfeits against him. Now, normally this wouldn't be that big of a story, but the first player took pictures of the dude and was like, put him up on the internet right away and said, "Fuck this. The tournament advisors aren't doing anything about this. We, you know, like, this is total bullshit." Apparently, there is a law in Spain that says you can't ban a person for wearing a location for wearing fascist symbols. I mean, I'm sure that's negotiable. You don't have to ban him from the tournament space, you could ban him from playing. Maybe, I don't know what the exact wording of the law is. I've only read, you know, Don Quixote.
Because I mean, like, you can't. So just generally, like, with the way the law works, I would immediately assume what you said is 100% correct. You can say, like, listen, buddy, you can stay in this building. There's nothing we can do about that. But you can't play in our tournament, I believe, would be A-okay.
Or you could play in the tournament, but we're not giving you any points.
Oh, I like that one.
Yeah, that sort of thing. So, of course, this blew up on the internet, and people were like, this is not a normal thing. And the funny thing was that I was actually, on the day that it happened, I was literally playing with my buddy from Spain. He had come back just for do a work thing in the United States. And we got together and we were playing some Titanicus. And he was like, of course it has to happen from like my home. The guy has to be like from my home region. Like, yeah. Dude, I get it. We're from Chicago. It's like, we get a lot from the Midwest. A lot of the shitty people come from the Midwest when it comes to this.
Absolutely.
Not Chicagoland as much, but Chicagoland is a bigger portion of the Midwest. So,
Midwest.
Well, so you know, just like out of percentages, you're probably going to get one or two assholes from Chicago or Chicagoland region, just because there's so many people out here, you know.
Yep, it is the Midwest.
But it actually caused such a big stink that Games Workshop actually released a press release about it. And I know it was very little of it was kind of like a too little too late thing. Like, this should have been a rule since day one of Games Workshop, but they said if you are, you know, wearing fascist symbols, you know, and you're going to be banned from our stores and events, pretty much. So no more Nazi stuff. You're not allowed to wear Nazis. But the problem is with a lot of that stuff is that there are so many fucking dog whistles for fascist movements nowadays that it's like you kind of got to be on top of it. Not to mention the fact that the people running the Games Workshop stores kind of got to be like not aligned with these people anyway. I'm not saying they are. I mean, I know that if like there was a store owner who was allowing this shit to go on, he would probably get canned. I know Games Workshop enough to know that they don't put up with that shit. Like, they'll just can you if not, like, they'll can you for looking like slightly weird, which for Games Workshop means you're very weird, but you know, for the purposes of this, it's slightly weird.
Yes, for a normal human, it's extremely weird. For Games Workshop, it's slightly weird.
Okay, so this is what they said: if you come to a Games Workshop event or store and behave to the contrary, including wearing the symbols of real world hate groups, you will be asked to leave. So, are they just like specifically talking about like fascist movements? Or like, what about the guy who comes in wearing
they said real world hate groups. So that would mean that like if you had like clan gear or you're like, you know, loaded for bear, dressed like a fucking Confederate soldier or some shit. Like,
yeah,
I would, you know, hate group. So pretty simple.
Yeah. I mean, I'm interested to test this, not test, but I'm interested to see the tests on this policy. Hopefully, you know, like, with the guy wearing the one of those Viking dog whistle shirts, you know what I'm talking about? Like, they're not quite the racist part, but it's like, you know that the guy's wearing it because he is racist.
Oh, right. That one's more of like a, I think that one's more of a code than a dog whistle, because there are just dudes who are just like happen to be like into Viking shit, who like sometimes are very frequently like surprised by the kind of conversations they're roped into. I've seen that actually happen, which cracked me up.
I've talked about that on the podcast before. Like, sometimes I'm like, oh, this would be really cool looking tattoo, and then I'm like, oh no.
Yeah, like I had an online friend for a while. We played a lot of games, and he was a cool dude. And he was like super into like Viking shit, and I was kind of like side-eyed at it, and I was like, I don't know, I'm just not gonna mention it though. But then like it turned like later on, I actually saw him like interacting like in the wild with someone like talking about Nazi shit, and he's like, Nazi shit? Like, what the fuck are you talking about? He's like, I just think Vikings are cool. What the fuck is this? And then like he looked into it, and he's like, what the fuck? Yeah.
we Pat B and I have a mutual friend who's like that, and you know, he claims I'm just like really into Viking shit, and it's like, you are, but you're also kind of a racist. I mean, not kind of, you actually are a racist. You're a real racist piece of shit.
This dude is just actually like, he just really liked Vikings, but that's the thing. I think it's the mythology. I'm not gonna say I've got the answers or the ability to like track this and whatever, but like, he was specifically into Vikings.
Yeah.
So when I say into Vikings, I specifically mean Vikings. He didn't give a shit about the mythology stuff. Like, he was like actually into like, you know, like the history, like Canute the Great and like how Vikings like,
absolutely,
you know, everywhere. That's what he was into. No, it seems to me, at least from what I've seen, obviously this is, you know, so this is like the most subjective fucking statement ever, but it seems to me that if they're the super racist thing, they're usually very big into the mythology.
And kind of, it's a little bit of both, I think. It's about a bunch of white men warriors is essentially what it is. It's like, you can't get whiter than people from Scandinavia, with the exception of our immigrant friends who are from Scandinavia. But still, it's like, and I'm sure we'll hear from some of our Scandinavian listeners. And they're probably sick of it too, because they're like the least Viking people in this time and age. Like, they're all just very tall, like very polite, you know, people who are most of the time just like trying to avoid conversation and direct eye contact with people. So they're
well, that'll be easy because they're dumb and gargantuan, so they have to look down.
But yeah, it's mostly like people in the United States who are, you know, 1/8 Icelandic or some bullshit like that, who are like, yeah, it's my Viking heritage. Like, your Viking heritage is the equivalent of me having a Polish hussar heritage, which is not in the least. I am very, very honest about my heritage. I love being Polish.
You're not a winged lancer?
I am not a winged lancer. I am the whole reason why my family line exists is because I probably come from a very, very long line of cowards, and I'm okay with that.
What about potato farmers? Yeah. Maybe you come from a long line of potato farmers.
Not in Poland. You know, that's the we enjoy the potato in Poland, but there's not that many potato farmers in Poland.
I thought potatoes were all over the lands of the Slavs.
So my grandfather and his brothers all fought in World War II. They were the exception to the rule. Let's put it that way. You know, there was a time everyone was married, you know, like, it didn't matter. You came over and you served your country, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, that they are the exception to my family lineage. I would put money down on it. I know for a fact my great grandfather came over from Italy to avoid the draft. So let's.
I like it.
I am an honest about that one. But the other thing is Games Workshop, you know, I think this is ironic in the fact that they just released the Black Templar release. Have to understand that, like, the whole Templar thing is a coded dog whistle for racist behavior.
Is it? I thought that was just for crazy religious people.
Well, I mean, it's all about the Crusades. It's all about, like, kicking the Muslims out, right? Out of the Holy Land.
Right, but I thought that was, well, I mean, I thought that bigotry was specifically crazily racist, religiously racist.
You don't think that most of the shit is like coded religious zealotry?
Sorry, there was a specifically different form where like they're cool with everyone except for Muslim people because they're like a weird ass like religious psycho.
I mean, it's part of the whole milieu. You know, like, yeah. I'm sure they're like, well, this
is a bog. It's a bog.
Yeah. This guy from the Middle East who's Christian is cool, but we're watching you kind of thing.
That's what I'm talking about. It seems like they're
you're cool. They're you're like, cool with my racist Templar ideology, but you're not cool with my Viking ideology. Yeah, you know, like
their ideology is really weird because it's based on no they'll be I'm sure they'll be first tell you it's not racist because it's based on religion. So oh,
Yes. Well, yeah, exactly. But then they're racist because of the other ideologies that they maintain. That's my whole point.
That's the other ones.
Yeah. It's like, oh no, the guy's wearing a Templar shirt and person from Saudi Arabia or Iraq is like, oh man, that's not cool. But I'm Christian, and the guy's like, oh, that's really cool, and shakes his hand. But then he takes off the shirt and he's got like a Nazi shirt underneath. But you're not cool with this ideology. Like, that's the type of bullshit that I'm talking about. But they just had this huge push for the Black Templar release, and then
it's like that super classic clip from WCW where it's the dude sitting in the audience in a Sting mask, mm-hmm. and then he gets up and he takes the Sting mask off, and it's Sting.
The thing is, like, you know, real world hate groups. We're including the wearing of real world hate groups. You just released an army that's full of real world hate groups symbols, the Black Templar cross, real world hate. I mean, it's just a normal Maltese cross, but it's also a hate group symbol. You know,
look, man, you and I both know that Games Workshop made the Black Templar's army for people who don't want to paint.
Well, I know that, you know that. I just think it's a bit of irony. For clarity. They also talked about how the Imperium of Man is satirical in this release, in this press release, which I get, but they've been getting away from the satire probably since second edition. So third edition came out in like the mid 90s, like I think it was 95, 96. They really haven't tapped into the satire of the Empire of Man in a long time. Like,
well, they kind of moved away from any kind of humor, right? Like, that was because that was one of the things, like, I thought that, like, one of the things that made the satire, you know, kind of work was the fact that, like, they used to be somewhat humorous with their thing. But, like, 40K is, like, 40K takes itself, like, super seriously now.
Yeah.
Like, other than orcs, like, the only thing that I know, like, the only brevity that I'm aware of in...
Levity, not brevity.
Levity. Yes, they dish what I meant to say. Brevity is if you want to say the dude instead of El Deuterino. was orcs.
Yeah. Oh, you're right. It's like the orcs are still the funny soccer hooligans of 40K.
Yeah. But like other than that, it's like 1000% grim and serious.
Yeah, it's grimdark.
And if you ask any 40K player who doesn't like orcs, I guarantee you they're gonna be like, well, you don't like orcs, why don't you like orcs? Be like, because they're so silly.
They're
like funny. I don't like it. Guaranteed. That's the reason. they're like a joke. This is a serious, serious game here.
Yeah, I mean, like, I was just reading the Siege of Terra book. What was it? Warhawk, the newest one, and they have a whole. They're like the bad guys in the book are the Death Guard, and there's a scene where because the Death Guard throughout the book, one of the heroes, like not heroes, one of the characters of the Death Guard laments how like everyone's just getting like really dumb and slow from the Death Guard. Like, he's like, our bodies are changing, you know, we're falling apart and our brains are falling apart too. And he's got a Nurgling that magic he uses for whatever, right? And he picks it up and the Nurgling like points at like the other space marines and farts like in the book. I was like, ah, that's funny.
Yeah, that's good.
I was like, Steve would appreciate that part.
Yeah, I like
little,
that
little giggly Nurgling it farts. Yeah,
Nurglings are funny. I like Nurglings.
Yeah, I appreciate them saying that, and they do have the bona fides to say that. Yes, like they have proof, they have written proof that Warhammer is supposed to be satirical. Yes. However, they really haven't played up that angle in a long time, so it's
it took itself super serial. It's super serial, guys.
Yeah,
I just want to be like, bro, you're fucking playing with plastic toys. It's not that fucking serious, okay?
Yeah, but you know, as my psychiatrist has let me believe that we use these things as kind of a bastion of our personalities, like.
Well, absolutely. Yes. That's why people get so upset when you say insert thing is dumb. Yeah. It's like literally everything is that pro ZD sketch. Don't worry, he's like, I think I've said it to you before, but it's just like, he's just like, hey, I like Thing. Thing's pretty cool. And then it cuts to someone who's like, I don't like Thing. You're an idiot for liking Thing. As a matter of fact, you're so fucking stupid for liking Thing. I can't even believe you like Thing.
Yeah.
And he's like, and you know what? And it cuts back to him and he's like, you know what? Thing B, I don't really care for Thing B. Not a big Thing B fan. I like Thing. And then it cuts back to the other guy and he's like, you don't like Thing B? But I like Thing B. Fuck you, you son of a bitch. Exactly. I can't believe you don't like Thing B. Yeah, it's legit. Like, and I was like, that's literally everything.
I had to be like 40 years old, like, and to truly understand that none of this fucking matters. None of it. I mean, yeah. Like, I've known about that for years, but I mean, like, at 40 is when I was like truly like, none of this fucking matters.
Yes.
None of these toys or TV shows or things that you love, and nothing matters.
Yes. Yes. This is correct.
Only thing that will truly live through time is art. That's what I say.
Yeah. And, you know, be nice.
be nice. About it.
also be nice.
Yeah. Just fucking be nice. Like,
yeah, be nice. It's really not that hard. Just be nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like everything's easier, everything's better. Just be nice.
Yeah. My only problem with being in stores and being nice, like practicing what I preach, like being nice to people about it, is that you attract the people who everyone else is mean to, and like they're mean to that person generally for a reason. Well, they don't want to be any part of them.
there's a difference between being nice and being a moron. Like, you know, being nice. No, don't be a moron. There's a distinctive difference.
No, I'm actually very verbal about my hatred of the paradox of tolerance. So like when a racist comes up and says, you know, like, would you allow the KKK to march in the city? I'm like, absolutely not.
Yeah, no.
They're like, but you're no. So much for the tolerant left. I go, oh, no. I don't believe in a tolerant left. I mean, I believe in a violent, violent left.
Like, yeah.
I have no qualms in throwing a brick at someone.
Listen to me, young man.
Yeah.
We have differing ideology, but there is one thing that is the same. Bullet. Yeah.
Like, yeah. Fuck those Nazis, man. Nazi punks can fuck off. Like, when you sign up to be a Nazi, you lose all rights to kneecaps.
It's true.
That is
accurate. I concur with this. But again, that's exactly what I mean when I say being nice doesn't mean being an idiot.
Yeah. So like, yeah. And because I was talking with my Spanish friend this weekend and some other people, and we were talking about a mutual person who we all knew, who is pretty much a unabashed, just awful racist, right? And you know, they were friends with him on Facebook for a very long time, and they were like, "Well, Joe hates him," and I'm like, "Absolutely," and I really won't have anything to do with this person because they're such an awful fucking human being. Mm. But it's like that. It's that paradox of tolerance. I just can't put up with it anymore. I just can't put up with someone who's that intolerant. But speaking of something similar, another photo popped up online not too long before, or it was right around the exact same time as the Spanish tournament. Someone took a picture. I don't remember exactly where it was, but I can assume it was not in the Chicagoland region, of a Warhammer store. Yeah, it looked like an American Warhammer store. I would put money on an American Warhammer store because the guy was open carrying a pistol while playing 40K.
I mean, that has to be America. There's no other.
That's what I said. It's like nowhere else.
Literally, literally nowhere else in the world will let you open carry a pistol while playing with your toys.
Yeah, but the guy was like a total stereotype of what we were just talking about. Like, he was an overweight individual carrying a pistol on his hip, wearing a Templar shirt that was like, if you fuck with my family, I'm coming for you type thing.
Yeah, like he's no longer a human. He's somehow evolved into, or devolved, however you want to say it. He's become a parody.
Yeah, exactly. He has somehow online seen that t-shirt and said, I want this to represent me. Like, you're just like, what?
He's crossed the boundary, become, he's no longer human. He's now a parody. He is a political cartoon made flesh.
He really is.
Yes, you never want to be a political cartoon made flesh. That's the rule of thumb.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I was just like, and so I sent that picture to our mutual friend who's a manager of a Games Workshop. And I said, I know things are bad down by where your store's at, but it really, is it this bad? And he said, you had me for a fucking minute. I was about to fire my part-timer. But I could see him literally going up to this person, like as soon as they walked in the door with that pistol on their hip, and going up to him and going, no.
Yeah, no. Yeah. You're not going to fucking play with it.
Like, no, not even that. Not, nothing more than just going, no. And just shaking his head.
Yes.
And because this guy, this manager that we know, has such, you know, cachet in the Warhammer world, the guy would probably just put his head down and kind of do the sad Charlie Brown walk out the door.
Like, wah, 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 wah.
Exactly. Like, he's got to go back to his car. He takes his gun. He takes his belt off. You know, he takes it out of the holster. He kisses it and puts it back inside the little like traveling case that he has for it.
Fucking dork, dude. Those fucking. I don't know what those dudes are called. They're just fucking dorks.
They're chuds. Like, that's what they are.
Though there's like a extra level to get to the mindset of like being in a like essentially a place that is ostensibly for children, with just like your fucking gun hanging out so everyone knows that you're strapped and you're so cool and dangerous.
Well, that's exactly it. It's this, like, open carry gun.
I'm sure the person who takes your firearm from you and kills you with it will be really impressed.
Well, the gun isn't about saving anyone or being the good guy with the gun in that situation. It's about a personality. It's the same thing as the t-shirt. Yeah,
that's what I said. It's his Big Johnson t-shirt.
It's his Big Johnson t-shirt. It lets everyone know that he's part of the Big Johnson club.
That's right. It lets everyone know he's Big Johnson.
Yeah. Well. All right, so I think we've talked ad nauseum about these assholes. I don't know if I could say anything else about them in any way, shape, and or form.
Welcome to Politicast on NPR with your host.
I know, I feel bad because our listeners come to us for goofy opinions on movies and gaming and TV and listen to us sing about things, apparently. Like, those are the things that people like. They're going to be like, they get to listen to a half hour diatribe about why, you know, jackasses who wear Templar t-shirts and open carry guns are idiots. And they're like, we already know that, Joe and Steve. And I'm like, I know you guys know that, but I just need an opportunity to like talk about that and like, like just reaffirm that I think it's the dumbest thing ever.
It's fair. Yeah. I mean, also, like, I was watching a quick let's play, and I want to see if there's any really good speed runs of Chippendale's Rescue Rangers. I was reminded of that because you said singing, and I was just like, yeah, singing. I was like theme songs, Chippendale's Rescue Rangers.
Well, you gotta do the 8-bit version, which is beep 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 beep.
Yep.
Beep 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 beep.
That game's a great game. I love that game.
It's a harder game. It's a harder version of DuckTales, which I enjoy much, much more.
Although Chippendales was two players. That was pretty cool.
Yes, it was two players. I mean, out of all those Disney Afternoon video games that they did put out, like Chippendales, Darkwing Duck, DuckTales, did they do Tailspin. Gummy Bears?
They did not do a Gummy Bears. They did.
They did Tailspin. I know that.
It was the Gargoyles era of the Disney Afternoon. Yeah, so Aladdin, Gargoyles, Tailspin. Although Aladdin technically was a movie game. So,
yeah. Well, there was a TV show, but I don't think it was part of the Disney Afternoon. I think it was more syndicated, because I think Aladdin and The Little Mermaid were both TV shows, but they were not part of the Disney Afternoon.
Yeah. So the ones that had games were Gargoyles, Tailspin.
Yeah.
Darkwing Duck.
Yep.
Chippendale's Rescue Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
DuckTales.
Mm-hmm. Woohoo.
And then was it I think this was, might have been part of just Saturday Morning, but if it was also part of Disney Afternoon Bonkers,
Bonkers was part of the Disney Afternoon.
Yeah, Bonkers also had a video game. And then Donald Duck had several, of course. Yes. Maui Mallard.
I always think it's so funny. I know we've talked about this on the podcast, and it just came up again. This is why I'm thinking about it. But like how popular Donald Duck fucking is in those Viking countries that we were just talking about.
Really?
Oh God, Donald Duck is huge.
I like Donald Duck.
I mean, like I like Donald Duck too, but it's like it's a big fucking deal. Like Donald Duck is a huge fucking deal in Europe.
Who gets stuck with all the bad luck? No one but Donald Duck.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
I'm a Donald Duck fan. I love Donald. I'm trying to think. I think that's everything, because I'm pretty sure I think that was all the Disney Afternoon shows, and all the Disney Afternoon shows had a video game, because Gummy Bears was tacked on to the Disney Afternoon, but it was not a Disney Afternoon show, if I'm not mistaken. It was made before the Disney Afternoon, and they just put syndicated episodes of Gummy Bears into it.
Yeah, you are correct in that. It was like when they originally putting it together as the Disney Afternoon, it was added in. It was part of that original lineup, but it was not like intended to be part of that. Yeah. So they had DuckTales, Tailspin.
Oh, and Goof Troop.
Goof Troop. Yes.
But all Goof Troop also had a Super Nintendo game.
So Mighty Ducks.
Mighty Ducks definitely had a game.
Yeah. And then in 2017, they did the Disney Afternoon Collection for the Xbox One and PlayStation 4.
I think that had I think that had all the Capcom games. So I think that had DuckTales 1 and 2, because there was a DuckTales 2 super rare game. DuckTales 2 is, if you have a copy of DuckTales 2 on NES, you should sell it, because it's worth a fuck ton of money.
Yeah, in the Disney Afternoon Collection, DuckTales, Chip and Dale's Rescue Rangers, Tailspin, Darkwing Duck, DuckTales 2, Chip and Dale's Rescue Rangers 2.
Yep. Also, everything I just said about DuckTales 2, also for Chip and Dale's Rescue Rangers 2. If you have either of those games, they're worth a fuck ton of money.
Well, there you go. Well, they're very good games.
They're also very good games. That's also true. But yeah. The sequels came out towards the end. Like they're one of those like end of the console life games.
Oh yeah.
And it's NES, and it's a popular property, so it's kind of like okay. Yeah.
Oh yeah, they were both of those games were released in 93. Was very much the end of the NES.
Yeah, there was the Super Nintendo was already out. I think the SNES I think came out in 92, so that was already a year of SNES. So those were like, ironically, were some of the absolute most banger NES titles came out. That tail end, because those two games just mentioned were really good. I think Yoshi came out at that point, which is a really good puzzle game. I think it was just called Yoshi. Yeah, and then they also had Yoshi's Cookie, which is super good too. I really like that game. All those like at the end of its stage NES titles are really good, because most of the NES library is garbage. Like it has more bad games than good games.
Oh well, no question. They threw everything at the wall. There's a there's a movie coming out on HBO Max this Christmas. It's called 8-Bit Christmas. I don't know if you saw any previews for it.
Probably haven't.
No, it's very much it looks like a straight to video holiday movie. Mm-hmm. But it's about a kid growing up in Chicago in the late 80s. I think he said 87, where all he wants is a Nintendo for Christmas. Mm-hmm. And it's all about like the insanity of getting a Nintendo for Christmas in 1987. And like it kind of looks really dumb. Like I'm not super into it, but the fact that it takes place in Chicago, and as I was watching it, I was like, oh, they did a pretty good job of like hitting a lot of the Chicago things. The only problem is that you can tell it was filmed in Canada, which they've done for Chicago for years and years and years, because the Chicago of nowadays looks nothing like the Chicago of the 1987.
There's right, exactly.
Not enough garbage on the streets, you know.
That's right. Was Maxwell Street still a thing in 87?
Oh, yeah, of course. Maxwell Street's been a thing since late 70s. Actually way earlier, but
well no, I meant like Maxwell Street still existing with like the open air vendors and that shit.
Yeah,
like
that, oh yeah, well 87, no, that was still going to 87, because that really didn't change till the Honorable Richard J. Daley took over, and I want to say the mid 90s and early 90s. Oh,
yeah.
There, that's what I meant by Maxwell.
When Harold Washington died in office, do you want any more Chicago facts, Steve?
Hey, more Chicago. Hey, look here. You and I is both. We were born in the city proper.
I was not born in the city proper. I was actually born in Leicester. Yes, I was born in Indiana because I was born on the border of Indiana. And I lived on the border, South Chicago border. It was actually made more sense for my parents to take me to an Indiana hospital than it was to have a Chicago hospital. But I did live in Chicago all my life, in most of my life, childhood life.
I was born in the city, raised in the city, then to the suburbs.
Yes. It looks pretty fun. I'm excited just for the Chicago references and all growing up.
They better have the Empire commercial.
I'm hoping like something like that. The
773.
That's Luna.
202. Boop, beep, boop, beep. Luna.
Push it. Pull it.
And then, of course, yes, and Peter Francis Geraci.
Well, Peter Francis Geraci was a much later. That was late 90s. Mid to late 90s. Yeah.
Really? Peter Francis Geraci still exists. So I assumed he's like one of those like just immortal entities that has always been and always will be.
Some sort of demigod.
Yeah. Like some sort of like maybe not quite a demigod, but like some sort of like entity outside the bounds of reality where like he doesn't actually have any powers or like any like special like, you know, worshipers or a cult or anything like that. But he just is. And like when you're talking to Thor, like you're on your holy mission for the gods, and you're like, you're talking to Thor and like Zeus, and you're like, all right, well, what do you need? And they're like, well, you must go down to Hades and defeat this to retrieve the fleece of the Nemean lion and then bring it back. Like, all right, my lords, but what of the great Geraci? Peter Francis Geraci? Yes. Leave him be. No one interferes with that. No one interferes with Geraci. That's my favorite. He's like he's a being that's outside. He's kind of like what's his fucking name? The fucking dude from the Lord of the Rings.
Tom Bombadil.
Yes. Peter Francis Geraci is IRL Tom Bombadil.
Tom Bombadil is way cooler than Peter Francis Geraci. Peter Francis Geraci is kind of a dick.
That's true. In terms of coolness, you are absolutely correct. He's a coolness factor of zero.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much cooler stuff from Chicago. Most of it's food related, but
probably. Oh, I mean, I think the number one thing I like that's not food related from Chicago is the Field Museum.
Yeah. I was going to say more pop culture or like part of the Chicago culture.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Well, then what do you got there? Blues Brothers and Malort?
No, Malort's terrible, and people who like Malort should be ashamed of themselves. And I firmly believe that, you know, it's like we're not about hate on this podcast, but I hate Malort, and I think that people who like Malort are buying into like a commercial basically for a terrible liquor.
I think there's a thing about it. So here's the thing.
What do you think?
I don't think this is specifically about Malort. I think it's about what Malort is. And I was thinking about this because Malort reminded me of something. And I was like, wait, I think I realized what it is. So I think people who like Malort don't, they may or may not actually like the flavor of Malort. That doesn't matter.
Oh, no. Yeah.
But what Malort is it's the local gross thing that you get your friends who are traveling from out of town to try.
Yeah, okay.
And that is why people love it, because it's and that is a thing that exists in many places. This isn't necessarily just Malort, but there is a category of food or beverage. I'll say food and or beverage, which is the local gross thing you get your friends from out of town to try. This is an actual thing.
Yes. No, you are correct. But let me just tell you, I'll fill you in a little bit about the Malort, the Jepson's Malort. So Jepson's Malort was a Chicago thing for a long time. It is terrible, terrible liquor. That is, I'm not 100% sure of what it's made from. But I'm believing it's the distilled urine from the troughs at Wrigley Field. apparently I just pulled it up. Like Wormwood? No, it's not Wormwood. Wormwood's been relatively illegal for the United States until recently.
Yeah.
So for some odd reason though, in the 2000s, like late 2000s, it became like it was always something that people knew about. I knew about it growing up. I think my dad had a bottle in his bar. I think everybody just had a gag bottle of it, right? But and again, and it was like the same bottle that was from like the 1970s. And people talked about it till the then in the 2000s, it started becoming a viral thing, like a local viral thing, like, oh, you've never had Malort. It's the worst tasting liquor of all time. And it was so bad tasting that it was like people had to try it because it was so bad. And it was like, mm-hmm. ha, 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 we give this to people who come out of town. Like, no, no one ever did that. That's not a thing. No one ever was like, you have to do that. And so it became a running joke. But the fucking thing is, Steve, the fucking thing that pisses me the most off about this is that Malort hadn't been made in Chicago since the mid-70s. Like, it was not, it got moved. I think it was made in like Wisconsin or something. Like some, like, it, not even Wisconsin. It was probably made in like fucking Kentucky or something like that, right? It wasn't a Chicago thing. And it became this Chicago thing that for something that wasn't made. They didn't start making Malort until like last year back in Chicago.
That's pretty funny.
And so it was all it is. It was like a capitalist viral video to get people to buy something they would normally not buy because it's terrible.
Mm.
Yeah. That's what bothers me the most about it is like it has this fucking like, thing is like, oh, it's got a Chicago flag on it. It's this Chicago drink. It's not. I would say myself that like, if I'm gonna say any drink is Chicago, I would say it's Old Style, and I don't even think Old Style is made in Chicago anymore either. But it's like, it's terrible. It's terrible, and people who drink it should feel terrible, and push it on other people should feel terrible because they're buying into a capitalist system of like some sort of like. Viral thing about Chicago. If you really want to get a taste of Chicago, go to a hot dog stand in Chicago and buy a Chicago style hot dog because those are delicious and everybody should eat at least one of those. And you have to get the sport peppers on there, even though I don't necessarily like sport peppers, but in order to get the full taste of Chicago hot dog, you got to have the sport peppers.
I love sport peppers. And here's an interesting question for you. Do you consider Jeans and Jude's a quintessential Chicago dog?
No. It's a very good hot dog. I don't consider it quintessential.
Okay. Do you consider it a... All right. Fair enough.
Yeah. Very good hot dog. They do make a good Chicago-style hot dog. It's just a fucking hot dog. It's not that great.
What's your number one then? What's your crazy one? Is it Super Dog?
I don't have a favorite Chicago hot dog. I think most Chicago style hot dogs, no matter where you get it from, are going to taste like a Chicago style hot dog. Mm-hmm. Yes, some are better than others, but I think it's negligible at that point. It's like none of them are Golden Demon winner painters. Like, let's put it that way. They're the bold, all Chicago style hot dogs are pretty much like local Chicago and local painters, game store painters who do a decent job on there. Like, none of them are going to win Golden Demons for like the best food of all time. It's a hot dog.
have you ever been to Felony Frank's, the home of the misdemeanor wiener?
I have been to Felony Frank's. It used to be across the street from where I worked.
Was it good?
Yeah, but Felony Frank's is also gone at this point. They closed a couple years ago.
Oh, did they? Oh, that's a shame.
I mean, it was fine. It was, I know this sounds awful and I'm not even going to say it. It's not even worth talking about, but Felony Frank's was not that great of a place to begin with. So
I got you.
You could go to any, you could go to Superdog, you can go to the Wiener Circle. They're fine. Devil Dogs. They all taste the same pretty much.
I always liked Jeans and Jude's. So I was a big fan of the extra heart clogging power of the French fries wrapped onto the dog.
Yeah. I mean, Superdog does that too. It's all the same.
Now Superdog has the more of the, they have the full package. They've got like the neon green relish and all that stuff.
Well, that's a Chicago style dog. You got to have the neon green relish. Other than that, it's not a dog. It's not a Chicago style dog.
Jeans and Jude's doesn't do the neon green relish. They just do green relish. They don't do that neon green relish.
All right. Yeah. I mean, it's they're similar. It's the exact same thing. There's no taste difference between the two. And I'll be honest there. It's like, and the Chicago style hot dog is one of the things that I'll be completely honest about. If we want to talk about like deep dish pizza, I'll give you like a bunch of different opinions on that. But the Chicago style hot dog, it's like in reality, they're all kind of the same. Like some are better than others, but they're all kind of the same. You're going to get the same experience.
It is a hot dog
without a refined palate, without that, like without being, Tommy Wisniewski, the Chicago hot dog connoisseur, that guy who's eaten nothing but Chicago dogs and has that refined palate enough to tell the difference between the two. He offers basically a hot dog sommelier course over at Columbia College. He's the one who's going to be able to tell you the differences between most Chicago style hot dogs. However, if you're that person from fucking Podunk, fucking West Virginia, who's never had a Chicago style hot dog before, and he's come to the big city for the first time in order to sell his cow to make some money to save the local farm. And he's like, "Hey, Ma, look at all these hot dogs. I wonder if this is a good one." And he goes up and gets one. And he's like, "Man, this is a great style hot dog." That's the person. He's never going to be able to tell the difference between a Chicago style, any Chicago style hot dog. And I understand that because they basically are all the same. Yes, there might be some variations in the bun and the dog used and some of the ingredients used. I mean, you could take two Chicago style hot dogs and have completely different ingredients, but when you eat it, you're kind of like, you know what? They're pretty much the same. Like there's unless you're like drastically changing an ingredient, like you're using wouldn't even really change the taste. It might change texture changing, like you're using diced tomatoes instead of whole tomato slices.
We put a little sawdust on our dog.
Yeah, exactly.
Just a pinch of sawdust. A pinch. Just a pinch. Trust me. A pinch of sawdust is what makes this dog.
Like it's pretty much the same. But yeah, as I say, there's other things though. Like I will go to bat for certain Italian beefs. I will go to bat for certain deep dish pizzas.
Margie's.
What's that?
Margie's. Ever been Margie's?
Yeah.
Margie's candies. Talking about Margie's.
Yeah. Or like what's the other one? The fucking Hibberito. I will go to bat over who's got a better Hibberito, but I'm not gonna care too much about the Chicago style hot dog of all things.
Do not have strong hot dog opinions. That's fair. That's fair. Yeah. Your local delicacy concerns lie elsewhere.
Yeah. Like I've had Chicago style hot dogs from the far south side on 130th and Torrance. I've had Bozo dogs on 130th and Torrance. I've had Chicago style hot dogs all the way far north. I've had Chicago style hot dogs at Wolfie's out on Peterson Avenue on the north side. I've had Chicago style hot dogs in the heart of the city. I've had them in Wrigleyville. I've had them in West Englewood. I've had them as far west as fucking Batavia, Illinois. I will tell you, they all kind of taste the same.
The entire time I just imagined you literally standing on the box of the podium that had like a hand painted sign that says Joe's Hot Dogs, and you like you're like rave you have this like prepared hot dog speech.
I kind of feel like a fucking guy from the Music Man, where he's like, "I'll tell you, friends, I've been all around this country, and I'll tell you, the Chicago style hot dog has been the same in every place I've ever been to. I've had it in Walla Walla, I've had it in Tuscaloosa, I've had the Chicago style hot dog in Chicago proper, and I will tell you, sir, the Chicago style hot dog is an institution. The Chicago style hot dog tastes the same, and the Chicago style hot dog is a planned set hot dog on which you cannot deviate, and otherwise you would not call it a Chicago style hot dog. And in that case, if you are having a Chicago style hot dog in Tuscaloosa, in Walla Walla, in Seattle, in Chicago, if you are not following that, then sir, you are not having a Chicago style hot dog."
Yes, that is exactly it. That was good. Got trouble.
Hot dog here.
Got trouble with a capital T in right here in River City.
You know what? I've been I have a musical that I've been working on for years. Like just a silly thing that I've been, I am going to add a song about the Chicago style hot dog using that exact speech I just gave. And it will be, of course, aping the Music Man Trouble in River City. So You got trouble, my friends, right here, Diversity.
I love it.
That's trouble that starts with a T, that rhymes with P, and that stands for pools, my friend. You got trouble.
We got trouble.
I don't know where we go from here, but
I don't know. I think that kind of peaked it right there, right? Like, where could we possibly go from there?
I mean, I did have some stuff I wanted to talk about. The Dungeons and Dragons dragon book that they just released, Fizzbands. Apparently is getting really good reviews. It's an excellent book.
It was a book of Dagrons. People love Dagrons.
They do love the Dagrons. If you have more than one Dagron in your campaign, you probably are doing Dagrons wrong. But
not necessarily. But
no, maybe. you are right there. It's not necessarily. In terms of what I'm seeing right now is a lot of sales and stuff, like pushing out like the big stuff for Christmas right now. Like the big Christmas releases are coming out. Most of it is about buying as opposed to innovating. So you're not seeing a lot of games and shit coming out right now, or new stuff for games coming out right now. A lot of it is we're packaging this together and selling it cheap for some, for whatever reason.
Well, the Pokemon frenzy has yet to die down. So there's still always a good time to be buying Pokemon cards.
I just saw an article that said like the peak is over. Like
The peak is over. Yes. Yeah. But the frenzy is not gone.
Yeah. So that it's actually, and that it is a very much a pump and dump scheme, is that if you are buying Pokemon cards in the hope that you're going to make some money off it, it probably will not happen.
If you're going to make quick money, you need to be flipping it, which is a different thing. So listen to me, kids. I'll tell you a story about Pokemon cards. All right. There's no way I could be able to do this musically, but without like a lot of preparation beforehand, but it would be pretty cool if I could. So the long story short on this is a huge spike. There was a prior huge spike on Pokemon cards, which did not last as long as this one, which was when Pokemon Go came out. All right. So here's the thing. Your Pokemon cards are going to retain value, and they're going to gain value. They're inflated right now. Many things are inflated right now. However, I believe once the bubble will deflate. It will not burst.
Like stuff like Pokemon or any sort of like card based collectible usually doesn't burst. Usually it deflates slowly. So slowly you don't even realize that it's deflating until it's too late.
So, but even then it won't be too late, because what will happen is you'll have it'll only be too late if you're doing something like trying to buy single cards to speculate on, which would be odd. But like, for example, a base set Snorlax before this boom, a base set Snorlax was a $15 card. Now during the boom, slightly after the boom, a base set Snorlax is like a $150 card. Woo! You know, 10 times the value. So what's going to happen is once the demand and the frenzy like dies down, that Snorlax's price will deflate. However, it will likely end up settling at something like, I don't know, $50. So that means that yes, what was at one moment a $150 card is now quote unquote only worth $50. But if you recall what I said at the beginning, before this boom, its original value was $15.
Yeah.
So that's actually a huge gain. And that's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen with it. Because this is what happened with each Pokemon boom. This is what happens. So what I'm talking about is if you're buying Pokemon, just sit on it. Just literally like take your sealed boxes, put them in a cardboard box, put them somewhere that won't get flooded, and just leave them there. Like literally like stocks, literally.
Well, I've showed you all those Dungeons and Dragons pictures of Dungeons and Dragons supplements and the prices that they're going for right now.
I don't think I saw that picture. No.
No, I remember I've sent you a couple of pictures of like some of the books I've seen at like half price books.
Yes, like
some of the ridiculous prices on some of the books.
Yes, absolutely. The prices were nuts. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, and that's what I was saying. I was like, this is this is fucking insane, the prices that they're going for right now. Like, yep. Stuff that I was getting for like $5 to $7, like not more than 6 or 7 years ago, are like $30 to $40.
Yep.
But whatever, it doesn't matter. I've in the long run, it is a it's all a moot point. I did want to talk about, though, so I wanted to give a shout out to people I know who listen and are really fantastic product is the Titan Forge guys. So I've been I'm kind of getting away from war game printing lately, and I really want to focus on role-playing game printing. Just for fun, you know, printing out some of the best monsters and stuff like that, and some basic guys. But Titan Forge, with their Patreon, they've had a fantastic Patreon. They actually do this subset each month called Titans of Adventure, and some of the fucking character stuff that they've done there is fantastic. Like, I know Bones is cheap. And Bones has the variety of what you're looking for. But I think that, like, they've done, I want to say 14 sets of these. And out of the four, they do like 3 character models in each set. So that's already like 52 figures that you could just pull of like characters. And they're fantastic. The sculpts are great. They come pre-supported and the pre-supports are great. I've printed out a couple of them now and I haven't had a single issue with any of them that I've ever that I've printed. I absolutely adore them. I just wanted to throw that out there.
Dig it. I mean, yeah, I've really liked everything I've messed with from them. I'm a big fan. I like their figures. I obviously had not done any 3D printing. You've done that end, but I've done their printed figures. Mm-hmm. Like, because you can buy. I assume they still sell figures that you can buy, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so I've messed with their resin figures, and like, they're really nice. I'm a fan. I like the sculpts; they look cool. They're a really nice style too, because they're like workshop esque. So yeah. they've really nailed the heroic style sculpting. Yes.
Oh yeah,
that's what it's called. They've really nailed the heroic style sculpting, because it doesn't look like a workshop figure, but like, it's got that feel.
Oh yeah,
like the ogres they have, like, they look perfect. Like they don't look like they're a copy of the GW ogre, but like, when you put like the ogre wearing the shark hunter like next to like a couple ogre bulls from GW, you're like, yeah, all right, like
I get it.
Yeah, that's legit. And so I was a big fan of that.
One thing that I did want to say, though, recently, and I did have a question for you, though, about this. All right.
Ready for me.
It's not specifically about the Titan Forge figures themselves. They're really great. But this is a role-playing miniatures question.
Okay.
How do you feel about basing for Dungeons & Dragons minis? Like, what should be... Like, I'm thinking in my head, I have 3 choices, right? I have a plain black base, right? I have a clear base, like one of those clear disc bases, not my favorite, but those do exist. Or you could do a standard dungeon tile base. What do you think you would prefer?
So I have to pick from one of these 3.
Yes. Or if you have a better solution.
My solution is a little different, because it's my recent belief on D&D minis, but we'll just go to the, I'll just answer the question from these 3 first. Black base.
Okay.
Black base. That is, you just do the all black base. That is the actual canonical standard for Dungeons & Dragons miniatures.
Square or circle?
Circle. All circle.
Okay. Because you remember originals came out in squares.
Yes. The originals came out in squares, but they shifted to circles in, I think it might have even been in second edition.
Yeah.
No, it was third edition. It's circles now, because they have, you know, they have like, they show you on the scale, like, you know, medium, the medium, gargantuan, huge, they actually have like all the bases circles. And then obviously all the officially produced minis are circle bases.
Yeah, I know, because I've talked about in the previous episode that with metal minis, like from the original AD&D, I don't like those painted, but these don't count as that. These are like new minis that doesn't, you know, you could, these are designed for painting and putting on there. Those right. original ones for the D&D were not.
That's what I was going to say. I'm not going to say I've come around full circle on minis, because I still think playing role-playing games without minis is the best.
Yes, which I know that's your standard belief. So,
but I do think that if I were ever to do if I ever plan on running a tabletop like D&D with minis, I will collect old shitty metal models and just wash them with black ink.
Yep. That's how I feel.
Absolutely use that.
Yeah. I do feel that is the best way to play, is like you get your old second edition metal minis, you know, first and second edition, like from let's say the era of like what, like 77 to
yeah,
maybe 89.
Yep. Yeah. And you play with them like that, because that's how fucking everyone played. Nobody had painted models. Nobody painted their models.
No. No one ever painted their models. When did chainmail come out? The mid 90s one.
Had to have been late 90s, like 97 or 98, if not later. Might have been in 99. Let me look. No, I'm going to say, you know what? I'm going to be bold and I'm going to say it came out in 1997.
Bold and brash.
Yes. And now, just to appease that one dude who was like, you guys look up stuff now. I'm going to look it up.
Yeah, we do. It's in 2000. I just looked it up. It was 2000 when it came out.
Ah, 2000. Okay.
Yes. I remember having some of these minis, and I remember that was like, I felt like that was a dramatic shift in the way that Dungeons and Dragons minis looked. But now that I'm looking at them online right now, I'm like, yeah, they don't look that bad.
Yeah. No, they're okay.
Yeah, they kind of actually meld a lot fairly well with the original aesthetic, like that, you know, the Reaper aesthetic from that time.
Mm-hmm.
They definitely look better than the original box sets from the 80s, but they're not like nowadays minis, like 3D printed minis or any of the models that come out nowadays. Like, these are very like meh. Eh, they're okay. I get what you're going for. It's a bone giant. I know what a bone giant looks like.
El Bono Gigante.
Yeah. So, but I think the all black base is probably the way to go. I kind of agree with you on that one.
It also, if you're using, as having played with the official D&D class, pre-paint plastics, if you're using the, any of the official or licensed D&D maps, the ones that are like
with the grids.
Yeah. And art on them.
Yeah.
Like grids plus art. If you're using any of those, the black bases look really nice on those. Yeah. They actually, like, aesthetically, they look really good, because they also blend in on they, because they're just black, they blend in with any of the options. So like I had like a bright field with, like, you know, lots of greens and flowers and stuff, and like they looked really good there, and then they look good in dungeons. So it's highly recommend, if you're going to do that, just do the black base.
Yeah, I always like, so my feeling with painting is that the bases help make the model, so it's really anathema to me to have a unpainted base.
Yeah, I agree.
And but I agree. I think a solid black base, but not okay. So I'm going to put this out there too. Is not a unpainted, is not just a plain plastic base. I think that you have to literally black prime the base as well.
Oh yeah, because it needs to have that completely matte look
to it. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't have the unmatted plastic, because that will cause a contrast with the matted figure.
Yes.
Yeah. So unless you're using enamels, and if you're using enamels, you're also banned from Games Workshop stores and events, according to that letter that sent out. Like, you do not accept hate speech or enamels in painting.
Actually, it was really funny because I was just about to say, like, before when I was talking about nobody painted their metal models, their old ones, I was like, unless they used some of their testers they had for a model car, and their metal model looked all fucked up because they put enamels all over it.
Yep, that's exactly it.
I mean, I did that because I didn't fucking know the difference.
No, I know. I actually never used my enamels because I would use ceramic paint from like the dollar store.
I started with like the, like, in the hobby store buying the like plane, like the jet plane, like,
yeah, I know what you're talking about, like the tester stuff.
Yeah all the tester stuff. So I had those testers enamels.
No, I used ceramic coat and like apple barrel paints.
Nice.
From the dollar, from like the family, not the family dollar, but like the you know, like a Michaels or something like that, that you would go, like any hobby store would have them. They're usually cost like 50 cents a bottle.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, and actually they still kind of work. I'm not saying that they don't. You just have to know how to use them for miniatures. I don't recommend them, but you can, in a pinch, if you need a specific color and you find a ceramic coat color that matches, you can technically use it. And it
not a recommended technique, but no. One that can be used.
I have never seen enamel testers, enamel paints used in such a way on a miniature that makes it look good. I've never seen it.
They really only work for cars, man. I don't know what it is.
I mean, if someone could show me one, but then next to it, I want to see the amount of time spent on the mini. Like, that's what I want to see. Like, oh yeah, this is a great looking figure. This person spent 17 hours painting this. Like,
I bet you could probably make a really, really cool looking space marine using enamel paints, but you'd need to spend some serious time doing it.
You are absolutely correct. You absolutely could, but the amount of time required for painting that
would be really shitty in terms of like for a game piece. But I guess, you know, like if you're doing like, hey, check out this cool space marine. Because I was thinking about like the enamel paints that I've used and like painting models. Like, you could do a really cool space marine with it, but it would take a really long time.
Exactly. All right. Well, I think do we have any more gaming news to talk about?
I don't have anything else. No.
No. I got two good rants out of myself today. One about Nazis and one about Chicago style hot dogs.
Yeah, you were on it today. You had some things to say.
My jimmies were wrestled.
Your jimmies were in fact wrestled.
Not about the Chicago style hot dogs, but I also went off a little bit on Malort too. So
that's true. You were full of piss and vinegar today.
Yeah. So
speaking of which, the Jimmy's Russell meme picture, the Gorilla Munch cereal, dude, that fucking cereal is good as hell. Gorilla Munch.
I've never had Gorilla Munch.
If you are in the cereal aisle, it'll be near the health food cereals, where like they have like probably near the Kashi stuff. But I highly recommend Gorilla Munch. It's delicious.
Yeah. I that Kashi stuff, I tried it and I'm like, why am I eating horse feed? No human being should eat this. This is designed for some sort of ungulate. Whether it's odd toad or even toad.
No, it's designed for humans who want to fire out a massive duke. That's what Kashi is for.
It's like, I'm like, this is more designed for goats than Kashi, human beings.
Kashi is a tactical cereal. That's a cereal.
Okay.
That's a cereal that you have in your cereal cabinet, not for everyday use. It's a tactical cereal.
It's solely designed for creating... for cleaning out your colon, your large and small colons.
You got it. That's exactly
right. Large and small intestines, large colon.
Kashi is not a cereal where you're like, you know what? I'm gonna pour myself a big delicious bowl of Kashi to enjoy that cereal. Yeah. That's not what Kashi is.
Yeah. it's like colon blow. Colon blow.
Yeah. Yes. Kashi is like, man, my guts have been all fucked up all week, and I feel like crap. I'm gonna eat this fucking bowl of Kashi and deuce out all my troubles. that's what Kashi is for.
In order to get the Duke busting material that you would need for in one bowl of Kashi out of that cereal you're eating, you'd have to eat a trillion bowls. And the guy goes up on the big pyramid of bowls of his cereal, and then he eats one bowl of Kashi. It just creates this massive explosion out of his asshole.
Yes, that is 100% correct.
Yeah. She's like, oh God, it's so big. Oh God. I can't stop.
Yes.
I can't stop shitting.
That's exactly correct.
Oh, sweet Jesus. Sweet, sweet Jesus. Make it stop. It just keeps coming. It's just like, it's like some fucking David Cronenberg body horror.
I am your God now.
Would the Kashi Serial Duke movie, would that be a Cronenberg movie, or would it be a Hickenlooper movie, like Basket Case or Frankenhooker?
It'd be Hickenlooper for sure.
Yeah. I could see that, like the big Kashi turd comes out and it's got like a little mouth, like with sharp teeth and like red eyes.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. Maybe it would also have a singing moment.
Yeah. Well, that would be the more serious version of that. However, there's also there's the silly version where you have the trauma version of the movie.
Yes, there's also the trauma version of the movie.
Where there's like a fat guy with like little round glasses and like his hair is like sticks out to the side. He looks like a discount George Costanza. He's like, he's sitting on the toilet going, oh why? Oh why? Is the shit is like the big shit monster, Takashi shit monster is coming out. Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. We're good.
I think we've accomplished all that we need to accomplish for today. So go to the Game Classic Facebook page. It's the best way you can get in contact with us. Like, comment, subscribe on the YouTubes. Like, comment, subscribe on the iTunes. Also, the best way that you can help out the podcast. You could follow me on Instagram. I am at Game Classy Joe. That's where I post most of my pictures. I put up a lot of Titanicus stuff, but my plan is to do a little bit more of some Dungeons and Dragons-y stuff, which is death on Instagram because no one follows that. Everybody just wants pictures of Space Marines and Titans.
You gotta get the right D&D hashtags, my friend, because there is a ton of D&D on Instagram.
D&D hashtags.
Yeah, you just gotta find the right hashtags.
Look at my figure; it's of a Matt Mercer character.
Yes.
Don't you like that?
Yes.
Here he is eating a Chicago style hot dog in a bowl of Kashi cereal,
And he's chugging Malort.
He's chugging Malort. which I say that now, and people are going to go to my Instagram page and they're going to see all my Chicago flag painted Titans and they're going to be like, fuck this guy.
I love it.
It's a great color pattern for Titans, let me just put it that way. The all like that that white with the blue stripes and the red stars is just a really cool pattern. So it's, I know I'm such a basic bitch. And you could follow Steve at command_throw.
That's correct.
On the Twitter, where he will at you with some Twitch thoughts.
Orb pondering.
Yeah, or ponderings.
VTubers and orb pondering.
What's VTuber? Yeah. Is VTube like I thought VTube was Twitch.
No. A VTuber is someone who is streaming, but they use a 2D or 3D avatar.
Ah.
And many of them also are playing a character in addition to like being a streamer. So like one of the ones I watch frequently is Inugami Korone. And she is like super popular, like she's crazy fucking popular. But she is a Cavalier King Charles Spaniel who works in a bakery and likes to stream video games. That is her basic backstory.
That's a thing. That's definitely a thing. My wife loves Cavalier King Charles Spaniels.
Yeah, it was very funny. Corona is extremely insistent that is like. She is a Cavalier King Charles Spaniel, like period. Yeah. Like that is non-negotiable.
Well, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, I believe they are different looking than Cocker Spaniels. So, I mean, some people might not see the difference, but I see the difference.
Yeah, well,
I think there are more difference between a Cocker Spaniel and a Cavalier King Charles Spaniel than there are from a Chicago style hot dog at two different locations.
I like it. I like it.
I like it a lot. Steve, until next time.
Oh, I was drinking coffee right when that happened. I recently got this stuff. I'm going to shill it. It's a hydration mix. It's called BioSteel. It's essential electrolytes, and you just scoop it into some water. I highly recommend it. If you are doing anything that is remotely physical in your life, you should
get the hydration of BioSteel.
Feel hydrated, aided, 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 aided.
Hashtag not an ad. They did not pay us to say this, but if BioSteel wants to give me money to shill their product, I would take it.
Speaking of, I never feel a more comfortable sock than when I'm wearing a Bombas sock.
Grandma Mabel's frozen peas full of country goodness and green penis.
That's terrible. That's
terrible. I quit. Just a handful for the road. Oh, God, they're even better frozen.
Later.
Later.
Game Classy.